Eile Shemos Bnei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayim. Et Yaakov Ish Ubeito Bau. These are the names of the children of Israel that came to Mitzrayim. Et Yaakov Ish Ubeito Bau. And his family, his household, they came. So this is the name of this parasha, and this is the name of the whole of Chumash Shemos. It's called Shemos. So what's the Shemos? The shame of a person's name, the Gemara says, the Gemara in Brachas, the Shem says, Hashem Gorem. The name of a person represents, it's Gorem Lo, where he'll be. It causes his Tachlis, his purpose. Chumash Shmos is the names of the Jewish people, the Galus in Egypt, the Geula, the coming out of Egypt, the receiving of the Torah, the Mishkan. It's bringing the Jewish people to its Tachlis, i.e. also the Galus is part of the Shmos. Also the going into Egypt is part of the Shmos. That's a bigger chiddush. To say that the Tachlis of the Jewish people is to be on Har Sinai, the Tachlis of the Jewish people is to build the Mishkan, that a person can understand. That makes sense. That's a Tzura of Klal Yisrael. That's the form of Klal Yisrael. That's the Tachlis of Klal Yisrael. To bring Hashrat Shechina into this world with the Tzura of Torah, of the Mishkan, the Shvatim, that makes sense. But to tell us, and that's what this parasha is talking about, this is the introductory parasha speaking about the Shibud of Mitzrayim. And this parasha is called Shmos. The whole Chumash is called Shmos, but this parasha is called Shmos. That means intrinsic to the Geula has to be a Golus. And in a certain sense, the Golus brings out a person's Tachlis, brings out a person's name. People always, and it's a wrong look at our lives. Whenever we see our own personal lives, people celebrate successes. I did this, it was success. This was a success. He sees his successes in his life. But he never notices the downs. And those downs, which he overcame, those downs which brought him those successes. Throughout life, it's the Golus that refines us, it's our difficulties that refine us, and bring out our real name, bring out our real Tachlis, our real purpose. That's why the parasha is called Shmos, on the name of the whole Chumash. And it's the parasha of Golus, the parasha we went down in Egypt. So we have to understand now the parasha, okay? Now, parasha goes in and speaks about all the names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, all the Sivim Nefesh. So we know that Klal Yisrael went down to Egypt with the Sivim Nefesh, and Yosef and his family were also Mitzrayim. Says Chazal, the Sivim Nefesh was connected the 70 Sars of Umos HaOlam against the 70 representations of the nations of the world. The Klal Yisrael went incomplete in order that they won't be mushpa, they wouldn't be affected by the 70 Sarim that was represented in Egypt. Now you have to understand, Mitzrayim, this is the Ari says, Mitzrayim isn't just a Golus. Mitzrayim is how every single Golus incurs. Every single Golus incurs the way it incurs in Mitzrayim. So when we're learning Parsha Shmos, right, we're learning about the Golus of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, and we're learning about a person's own personal Golus. And Paro is referred to, we know from Masiris Yesharim, the end of the parasha, is referred to as a Yetzirah, i.e., The Shibud of Mitzrayim is the Shibud of Ayetzahara, who wants us to be involved in other things, not involved in Torah, not involved in mitzvahs. He wants to be involved in other things, and he wants to make that our lives. So that's what happens here. You see the Klal Yisrael that come to Egypt. So long as we had Yosef and the Shvatim, we know from last week's parasha that when Yaakov was Nifta, Nistimu Einehem Velibam, they lost their, they were Nistam, they were closed, their eyes and their hearts, Me'ashibud, we know that's the Shibud Haruchani, Yaakov Avinu, who represented the Torah, so we lost the Semel of Torah, and with that, because we lost the Semel of Torah, Klal Yisrael lost their spiritual connection to Torah. And that caused their initial spiritual Shibud. This parasha is speaking about the physical Shibud. Here we see a very interesting thing. V'yamot Yosef kol echav. Yosef died and all his brothers, all the Shvatim. V'kol hadoahu. All that generation. There was nothing left of the Shvatim. U'bnei Yisrael, Pru, Uruvu, Rishutzu. They became Ma'od, Ma'od, etc. They became Shesh, B'kris, O'echad. It was a Nes. So became very dominant. The Jewish people became dominant in the Egyptian society. Right? To the extent, Vayakom melech hadash al Mitzrayim, asher lo yadat Yosef. What do you mean lo yadat Yosef? So there's a machlokus, which Rashi brings. Or, he was a new king, right? Or he was the old king who changed his ways. Lo yadat Yosef. What do you mean lo yadat Yosef? So Rashi says, Asat mokil lo yadat. He made himself. It doesn't matter if he's a new king or an old king. Everyone knew what Yosef did to Mitzrayim. Right? Why is that the turning point of Golus? What does Yosef represent? Why is this a lo yadat Yosef? Why did Golus start with not knowing Yosef? Yosef represents the person who connects us. That's what he was supposed to do in Mitzrayim. He was sent lachayot, to give nourishment to the Jewish people. That's what Yosef. Yosef is the Bechinas HaYesod, right? So we're going to speak about this. He was represented connecting the Jewish people. The Yesod is a Mokom of connection. The Bris, the Mokom of Bris, is a place of connection. If you don't know Yosef, if you don't connect with Yosef, if you lo yadat Yosef, that means Yosef was lost. We have no longer Yosef. We're known not only Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, v'lo yadat Yosef. Klal Yisrael v'lo yadat Yosef. Klal Yisrael forgot the connection. You have to know, it's a rule. Whatever the Goyim have Shlita on Klal Yisrael, it's because we give them that Shlita. We have the same concepts as lacking in us. So that's why the pasuk beforehand says, V'yamot Yosef v'kol ha'chav v'kol ha'dorahu. When Yosef is dead, he's dead from our memories. We're not connecting with the concept of Yosef. We're not connecting. Yosef's the one who connects us in Golus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we don't connect spiritually, then V'yakom melech hadash, that is, he doesn't know it's Yosef. Because we don't know Yosef, lo yadat Yosef. So the chet of Klal Yisrael here was their spiritual chet, that they were not connecting spiritually. They became brilliant Egyptian philosophers in the economy. They lived in the best land in Goshen, the Beverly Hills of Mitzrayim. They had everything. To the extent that the new king, when he came, what were they worried about? They said, "V'yomer amo, hine am bnei Yisrael rav atzum mimenu." They're getting bigger than we are. They're getting more powerful. Atzum is a lotion of power. Otzim v'kochi, kochi. Otzim, that's atzmut, right? Atzmut is a lotion of independence. It's koach. They're worried. Maybe there'll be a war and there'll be no saf or al-kherim. So the Jewish people are very powerful here. You know, we know this throughout history. The German Jews, before the Spanish Inquisition. Throughout history, whenever the Jews became comfortable and they became very powerful in the goddess that they were in, instead of being a Jewish German, it became a German Jew, and then more German than Jew. Or in America, I'm an American, and then I'm a Jew, or not even a Jew. And we know, we see through history, how Klal Yisrael, when they lose that form, they lose that connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we get reminded of it. That's what it's saying here. That's the remez that is written in this. It's a remez, it's written. Yeah? And now what happens? Now we have the Sivlot of Mitzrayim. Vayasimu alav sarim misim leman anotam besivlotam viven arim miskenot leparo et pitom vet ramzes. Now they start building. And it says, Rashi says, v'yavdu Mitzrayim et Yisrael befarech. Befarech means the breaking of the back. But also, Chazal tells us, befarech means beperach. In the beginning they said, come, we've got a good job for you. We give you off Shabbos, no problems, you get your high holidays, everything, just work hard. We give you a good salary, work. And then after a while, they took the salary away, and they were mishabed them, little by little. That's the derech of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah comes to a person and says, exactly the time that you're learning, they come and say, there's a good deal. Something's happening. Just 5 minutes. Just 10 minutes. You can make good money. You can do good things. Just a little bit. Little by little. He takes the whole thing away. Little by little, you become meshubed to the work. You become meshubed. It's not you who work when you want. It's the work that takes your life over. It becomes Avodat Parach, becomes a shibud. You know, people work 40-hour weeks. It's crazy. It's crazy. Whoa. Or men get up 5 o'clock in the morning, come back at 9 o'clock in the night. For what they're working like that? For what? What are you going to do with your life? You don't see your kids, you don't see your wife, you don't see anything. There has to be. You have to understand, that's not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from you. He wants to have a balanced life. He wants to v'yeda et Yosef. You know what you're here for. You know you're connecting. You know you're connected to Mokom HaBris. Mokom HaBris is a Mokom of connection. So we said that this is the Shovavim. It's the time. To explain a little bit more. It's brought down in the Ari that there was 130 years after Adam HaRishon sinned, Kal Shanim, that Chazal say, that's the time he separated from his wife. And he was sitting, the Tanis, he was sitting the tshuva, he was doing tshuva on his sin. V'yatza mimenu, tipot, yatza mi'Adam HaRishon, tipot le'onso. That's what Chazal say. It's a Gemara in Erevin. Drops accidentally, whatever. The Ari then says that those, because it came from Adam HaRishon, those drops had tremendous kedusha, but they were lost, so they needed to be clarified. So each generation they came to more of a clarification. In the time of Noah, they had clarification. And that's why the Nephilim, he says, the Nephilim represents, they fell from Shamayim, because they came from that Bechina, that concept. Just the drops from Adam Rishon fell, so these Nephilim dropped Min HaShamayim. And that's Vehishchid Da... Hishchid Ko Vasa Darko. The concept of Hishchid is a concept of improper connection, which is represented by this concept of this issue that Adam Rishon had. It's an improper connection. Then they came back as a Gilgul in Doha Flogger, which was a Dibu, which was a speech, right? And they built with Chomer Ulevenim. And because the building a place that would represent, so to speak, an antithesis of Yerushalayim, a place where there would be no Hashgach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol, they could do whatever they want. If anyone understands clearly, that means to remove Kiviyachol, Kodesh Baruch Hu's connection with the world. That means the world had no connection. That means that Kodesh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol was going larik, was going... You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Was going empty. So then came back in the door of Klal Yisrael, in Mitzrayim. And that's why, the Ari says, that's why that the Shibud of Mitzrayim was Bechome Ulevenim. To be Mekape on the Chome Ulevenim they built in the Tower of Babel. That's what Ari says. So it's a drush, the Ariza. So, what is this Chet? And what is the Shovavim in these parshas and the Shibud of Mitzrayim? And this is what the Shibud of Mitzrayim is there. So the Ari explains, it's a biru. These drops were still mu'urav with tov v'ra, were mixed with bad and good. That's why when we went out of Egypt, we didn't come out completely mevurar. We didn't come out completely clean. We also brought with us erev rav. Erev rav is a mixture of tov v'ra. And so still remained with Klal Yisrael this Sigim, this bad that's within us, this Erev Rav, this Yitzhara, whatever you want to call it, that's with us. So because we didn't spend our full time in Mitzrayim, we should have spent 400 years, instead we spent Radu Shana, 210. So all our Goliaths afterwards are there to clean us, to remove from us these Sigim. So that's what I'm explaining to you. We can only really see our real name, our real purpose, when those sigim are removed from us, when the bad is removed from us. That's what Golos is about. Golos is not a punishment. Golos is a chesed. It's there to remove from us the ra, so that we remain with the tov, and that our kesha, our connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, can be clear. That's what it's about. So since this the time period, the period of Shovavim, you know, these parshas, is a time period that in Chumash is the biru of Klal Yisrael, which is the biru, which is clarification of these teapot, of these drops of Adam and Rishon. So too, this is a special time period for each individual person to clarify his own lost drops that Chas v'Shalom went into the lower worlds. So that's the tikkun of Shovavim. But if you understand how he started, that's all related to Yosef. Because Yosef is the Bechinas HaYesod. Yosef who Mokom HaBris. The concept of the connection to Yosef. So Yosef who Ama'asef, he's the one who brings back that which is lost. Bringing back to Chorish. That's what was lost at the beginning of this parasha. You understand? Okay. So the tshuva for Shazal, right? The Zohar says there's no tshuva. But it's not true. It doesn't mean there's no tshuva. There's no tshuva in the normal way. But just as we see the tachlis of Mitzrayim, we'll see that later on in the parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he see was the siba for the geula from Mitzrayim? Uziamdu Bahar Azeh, they would be accept Torah in Har Sinai. Yeah? So, too, the tshuva of connecting to Torah is the tshuva for Shazal. That's the real tshuva. There's tikkunim, that's the tikkunim of Shovavim, right? But without that tikkun, the tshuva is Torah. Because if you understand, tshuva, Torah is bris v'Torah, right? Torah is a bris. As soon as you have a bris, what do you say? Kashem shikanis a bris, ken yikanis a Torah l'chupa ma'isim tovim. Ken, Torah comes with bris. That's why you needed a bris when we came out of Egypt. We'll see this, Arasha. We're going to see. The next thing we get told in the parasha, now, this is stam, you know, Klal Yisrael were in a tremendous shibud. Mitzrayim were the biggest, most strongest, most cultivated nation in the world. Paro yadat Elokim. He had complete dominion on all the forces of the world. No one had left Egypt. There was tremendous shibud here. A tremendous inui, tremendous difficulty and hardship Klal Yisrael were in. Each Jew here, what his life must have been like. And every boy, right? Born, that's what it says, Haba nitchak malo, pen yarbe, may become more. Vaya il tikrenu melchama, v'nosev gam hu al sonin, nilchem banu v'ala min ha'aretz. And they put him sari misim, and then they said, V'yimaru et chayim b'avod kasha b'chol meraveinim. All the difficulties. And then they said, Paro told to the miladot, ha'ivriot, Shem echad shifra v'shem echad shnia pua. B'yom miladchem ha'ivriot, ura'itim et ha'ovnaim, im ben hu v'amiten oto, v'im bat hi v'chaya. So they took the children. All, can you imagine? All the male children were killed in front of their parents. They were all killed. And later we're going to see that Paro shechted tinokot shel Klal Yisrael and bathed in their blood. I mean, we can't imagine the tsar that was the Klal Yisrael at this time. We can't imagine. Now what does Chumash tell us about? He tells us about Shifra. She mishaperet et avlad, Rashi says. She miasheret oto, makes him, puts him in their form. And Pua, that says, Pua, she comforts the crying child. Amongst all of the tsaras, we don't even hear so much about it. We get told this little story about Shifra and Pua. And now it says, the Tirena Hamialdot, and they saw the Mialdot, the midwives, Et Elokim, they feared God, V'lo Asu Kasher Dibeh Aleihem Melech Mitzrayim, they didn't kill, V'techiyena Et Yeladim, not only did they not kill the child, they gave it life. And now Chazal tell us, V'yitev Elokim l'mialdot, v'yirev ha'am v'yatzmu me'od, they became bigger and bigger. And now we're told, v'yikiv yir'u ha'mialdot et Elokim, because they had yirat shamayim, these two women, v'yas lehem batim, he made them batim. So Rashi says, bate kuhuna u'bate melucha, bate kuhuna to who? To Shifra, to Yocheved, yeah. Why? She put the child who was in not the right form, he put in the right form. That's what the tachlis of a kohen is. Person does a sin, he's not in his right form. He gets put in his right form through the korbanos. That's the purpose of kohuna. Pua, right, which is Miriam, the child's crying. He's navoch, he's confused. The purpose of malchus is to give direction. So, Mida Kaneged Mida, you see, to the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave these two Mialdot, and this is what the story is about. Bate Kuhuna, Bate Melucha.
Right?
It seems very strange. If I was writing a history book, this would not be an important story. To mention two people who just looked after the children. You'd mention the shibud. You'd mention the people who gave up their lives. You'd mention something else. The hard working, or they're not giving up. I don't know how they'd write in a history book. Here's something else. And then we go on. And the next story is the birth of Moshe from Yocheved. After she had that bracha, after she was Moshe Nefesh. And we see that Miriam's also Moshe Nefesh for her brother. A person has to understand. You see, and we're so used to seeing these things. You see a big world. Millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people, billion people. And you see so much, so much. And there's this little you. And if you see this little you amongst this big, big world, what's me? My chayai? What effect can I have on the world? What effect can I have on my society? What effect can I have on my parents? What effect can I have on my brothers and my sisters? What effect? Even small. The only effect you say, I can have effect on me. What does Chazal say? What did these people do? Did they think they were in any way going to defeat Paro? Two women. No way they're going to defeat Paro. They gave. And what did they do? Chazal say they made the form of the child. They went poor to the child. It wasn't like such a... And then they managed to say, well, the Egyptian, the Jewish women are a chayot hena. They don't need us, so we couldn't... They quickly give birth, so we couldn't get the children, etc. The simple action of Mishaperet the Vlad of Pua, and that they were helping the children. Not only they weren't killing, they were helping the children to be the right form, to not cry. Small action. Small actions. And this has a tremendous effect. It's not the major things that a person does in his life. It's the Yirat Shemayim, and the small actions that he does that can bring the Geula for Klal Yisrael and the Geula for himself. Our small actions brings the Geula. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's what Chumash is telling you. You had two women that they did, Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam, and from that came Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're going to see another small action of Batya Bat Paro. These are small little actions of little individuals all over the way. You understand? Small actions. One Egyptian woman, the daughter of Pharaoh. And Moshe Rabbeinu has his name from her. A person has to realize that. It's his small actions that change his world. How am I going to change the world, Rabbi? You're not. Change yourself. That's changing the world. And it will change the world. You don't know. They knew. Shifra understood that this was going to happen. If she, when she was Meshaper the Vlad, Yocheved understood. Miriam understood when she was giving the child compassion. That would be her reward. From her would come Malchus and Klal Yisrael. The Yirat Shamayim that they had in doing these actions brought the Geula for Klal Yisrael. You understand? Vayelech ish mibeit Levi v'yikach et bat Levi. This is Yocheved. And we know that Miriam came to Yocheved. Rashi brings. He says, your gzera, tell the father, your gzera is worse than Paro. Paro said, he's killed the boys. And you, by not having children, you're killing also the girls. V'taha ha'isha, v'teiled ben, v'tir'e oto, ki tov hu. The Shechina was on him. On Moshe Rabbeinu. He was V'titzpenehu shlosho irachim. He was born in the seventh month, right? And Chazal tell us, a child that born in the seventh month, there's different months for birth. There's the seventh, there's the ninth, and there's the twelfth. If you're born in the seventh month, you're orot, it's a very special child. Mm-hmm. If it's born, I don't know today it applies, in the ninth month, that's a regular child. If you're born later, the 12th month, it's a very megushim, very physical child. We don't have the 12th month, I don't think any nowadays. I don't think we have the seventh month, really. Because they usually get born premature. So the whole story about that they hide him, that they take him, they sent him into the suf, right? And they put him in the teva. So Stam, the Moshe Rabbeinu was in a teva. Who else was in a teva? Noach. Because we know Bishagam Hu Basad, that Noach was a Gilgul of Noach. They both had a teva. So now, V'titatsev achoto merachok l'de'a ma yaselo. So Miriam again was involved. Miriam again was involved to see that, to know what would happen with Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we have this whole story of Bat Paro. So she now goes into the river, right? And Chazal say, this going into the river was Hagerus. She went and she was Midgayer. V'tered Bat Paro lirchotz al ha'yo'o, v'narotea holchot al yad ha'yo'o, v'tered et ha'teva v'toch hasuf, she saw it. She sent out her hand to get it. So Chazal say, she sent out her hand many amas. Or she sent amata, her maidservant. But it shows her rotzen, her desire, why? To save this child. Why? So it says, V'tiftach v'tirehu et hayeled, v'yina boche. He looked like a nai, looked like a full grown person. She saw Kitov, she saw that there was a shechina on him. Batya, right? Now she gives him his name. The name that Moshe Rabbeinu, we call Moshe Rabbeinu, is the name that Batya gave him. He had other names, his mother and father gave him a name. But the name we give to Moshe Rabbeinu is the name that Batya gave him. Now let's try and understand what that name is. V'yigdal hayered v'tviyehu lebat paro. Right? I mean, first we know from Chazal that Miriam comes, right? And says she tries feeding him with someone else. No one can feed. No one will drink from Moshe. Moshe will drink from them because he's going to perish him with a bein mashchina. So start to understand the concept that Hanukkah is not just a maternal. There's a concept of being fed by a mother. It's called what's called a person. It's a spiritual concept. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't drink from Chas v'Shalom a non-Jew. And we say, you don't give your children to a non-Jew to have milk. It's bad for them. It brings them midot raot. Even a Jewish mother, if she's angry, she shouldn't feed her child. At the time she's angry, she should wait, because it brings in on him bad midas. Or chas v'shalom, she shouldn't eat food which is not kosher. If she eat anything which is not kosher accidentally, she shouldn't at that time feed her child. You understand? So anyway, it has an effect on the child. And if that has an effect on the child, so too when the child's in the mother's womb has an effect on the child. You know? So if the mother, you know, watches things or does things that are improper, it'll affect the child. You understand? Or goes to places which are improper, can all have an effect on the child. All right. So it says, Vahi la leben. She was to him. She brought him up. V'tikra shmo Moshe. Called his name Moshe. Why? V'tome. Ki min hamayim meshitihu. From the water did I draw him out. So the name Moshe is the koach of drawing something out from the waters. That's the koach of Hamashah. Hamshacha. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had the koach to draw from the waters, which represents the Torah, to give to Klal Yisrael. The name Moshe represents that koach of drawing from the waters of Torah to bring it to Klal Yisrael. Limshoch, to bring out to us. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu does. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the ability to draw from one place to bring it to us. He's just the vehicle to do that. Another thing Chazal say, Rashi brings here, he brings the Gemara from Brachas. So it says, "Kemeshacha binita michalva," like taking a hair out of milk. What's the Gemara they're speaking about? It's speaking about different types of death. This is the death of a person where it's like a hair is removed from the milk. Hair removes the milk, there's no milk on the hair. That represents a neshama which is completely clean from the physical world. Moshe Rabbeinu was zoche, that he had a neshama. His guf was completely clean. That's what's also hinted in his name. He was zoche l'bechinas neshama, that he was completely clean from the physical world. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't die like everyone else. Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yada kfurato, we don't know where he's buried, because he wasn't buried in a physical place. It wasn't like, you know, the archaeologists say, well, let's go look for where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. They won't find. He isn't buried in the physical world. He's buried in the spiritual world, because he perfected his guf, that it was, there was no physicality. It was complete perfection. Vayhi, because now we see, Vayhi biyami mahem, vigdal Moshe, and Moshe grew. Vayitzeh lachiv, as soon as he came of age, he went out to see Vayav Sivrotam. He went to see the, how do you say, the Sivlot of his brothers?
Burdens,
yeah. Vayah ish mitzri, and he saw an Egyptian man, makeh ish ivri me'echav, from his brothers. And what did he see? He saw the, Rashi brings the whole story of Dibri. She would say Shalom Aleichem. She would say Shalom Aleichem to everyone. And then the Egyptian saw her and connected with her. And her husband came and noticed. And every day he was rode her husband, because her husband knew what happened with him and his wife. So when Moshe saw that, Vayifen kovacho, he went, looked here and there, right? And saw that no ger was coming from him, i.e., there was no kedusha in him. Vayaki ain ish, that means he saw there's no ish, no ger is coming from him. Vayach et amitzri, vitmeneu b'cho, vayach v'shem ha-mefurash, and he was buried in the sand. He was burying in the sand, right? The sand saved him, right? So that's why in the Makot, he didn't, wasn't makah the sand, right? So, like you were saying, the chol represents that which is mundane, because the person who was buried there, there was no kedusha in him. So that's what you were saying. And also the concept of the son that was born, we see later on in the parasha that he was the one who was mekalel Hashem, he cursed Hashem, because just as his mother, her chet was in Dibul, she had a son whose chet was in Dibul, was in speech. And if you understand a little bit, the yesod, the concept of the bris, right? Bris is, mokom bris is your mouth and the lower part. That's why if you're shomer bris elyon, this is a higher bris, that'll be shomer your bris tachton, it'll be shomer on your lower bris. That's why Torah, proper speech, is a tikkun for your lower bris. If a person speaks Torah, and that's why the Rambam says in the Hilchos, the end of Hilchos is Surah Bia, he says that a person whose thoughts are in Torah, other thoughts won't come to him. Because it's that against that. Your higher bris is in charge of your lower bris. If your bris is a bris of Torah, then your lower bris will be guarded as well. Here, because she was chote in Dibul, which is a chet of bris, happened what happened. That's what the Gemara also calls speech. connection. When the Gemara speaks about a woman who connects, she says, it says, "Midaberet imo," he speaks with him. You understand? Mm. So her speech brought on this connection, this improper connection. And this improper connection brought a child which had an improper speech and an improper connection, and he was Mekalel Hashem. Vayetze biyom hasheni v'hinei shnei anashim ivriim nitzim v'yom el harasha lama takel harecha. Again, what are we being told? We're seeing all the Sivlot of Mitzrayim, and we've been told a little story of one person hitting his friend. This is Datsan v'Aviram. V'yom emish samcha, and they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, who put you le'ish sa v'shofet aleinu? You put us in charge. Halargeni ata omer, you're going to kill us by saying like you did yesterday? Kashe harakte ta mitzri, like you killed a mitzri? Vayira Moshe. And Moshe feared. V'yom yachen no da adava. Now I understand the matter. So, simple chat. No da adava that I killed this Mitzrayim. They were malshin to Paro. But no da adava, Rashi says, now I understand for the Shibud of Egypt. Mm-hmm. What was the Shibud? Because of the malshinim. The people who are chote with the dibu. If you're chote with your dibu, I explained to you, that's the concept of bris. Again, that was what prevents Klal Yisrael from Egypt. From getting out of Golas. Loshen Hara, Chofetz Chaim, is Hagdama of Shmir Saloshen, explains that all of our Golas is because of Loshen Hara. Loshen Hara creates the Sinas Chinam, or the Sinas Chinam comes out with Loshen Hara, however you want to say it, right? But the Chet HaDibu, that is Malshinim in Klal Yisrael, is a Sim and the Klal Yisrael are one. We're not properly connected. If we're not connected to the Bechina of Yosef, we're separate. We're Am Mefuzel Mefurad Bein Amim. Then the Goyim have Shlita on us. The only time the Goyim don't have Shlita on us, that's what started off when we came down in Egypt, when we came down with Shivim Nefesh, when we were one, serving one God. When we, Chas V'Shalom, take on other things, and we're not serving that one God, become a separate people. And then the Goyim have Shlita over us, Chas V'Shalom. And that also tells us all the Golos of Klal Yisrael are caused from their own Malshinim, from their own, within their midst. The people within Klal Yisrael cause the biggest Golos. It's not the Goyim, it's us. It's our behavior, it's us. And that's also our own individual gods. Of course, there's tzadikim anidon kachut asar, right? But there's also something in that tzadik that needs to be perfected. The closer you get to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the more he requires perfection. The more, you know, you have to be clean. And the tachlis is to be as close as possible. So the closer you get, the harder it gets. You have to be menake a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Sadiqim don't have easy lives. And now we know the whole story, that Paro catches him, and he wants to kill him, and he runs away, and he gets away, and he goes to Midian, right? And now the whole story with Yitro, and he saves them from the Royim, and Yitro tells him to bring him back, because he recognizes, just as the water came up, for him, that he's Mizera, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then he gives his daughter, yeah, and the whole story. And now he becomes, Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a roe for the shepherd, for Yitro. Moshe hay roe tzon Yitro, chotno kohen Midian, v'yinehek et tzon, and he was manig the tzon, and he went to the higher Elohim. Now, Chazal is a midrash here to tell us that one of the flock went astray. Midrash says one of the flock went astray, and Moshe Rabbeinu ran after it to bring it back to the herd, and in doing so, he saw the burning bush. That's what Chazal said. Why is Chazal telling us this? Why is the midrash telling us? What is it coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu.
The midah of the manig of Klal Yisrael and Galus has to be the one that's bringing the weaker sheep back. That has to be the hanhaga of Klal Yisrael. That has to be the hanhaga of the manig. Caring about the weaker sheep. The strong sheep, we're not worried about. The strong sheep will go. They'll stay with the flock. They'll be okay. But the weaker sheep, it shows the rachamim of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that rachamim brought him onto the revelation of the burning bush. Vaya malach Hashem elav, belabat esh, mitoch hasne. Vaya vihine hasne bo'e ba'esh, vasne einenu ucha. And the snare isn't burnt. Right? So he sees this. Normally fire burns. So it's brought down in his farm, there's two types of fire. Just as there's a fire which burns a person, which is a fire of chole, right? When a person's ill, it burns, it kills everything inside him. It's burning the bad in him, but it's a burning fire. It's not a good fire, it's a burning fire. And there's the fire of Kedusha. The fire of Kedusha is the fire that a person has that gives him koach to do. Just as you have the combustion engine, everything that's, that works, that moves, is made with fire, but it doesn't destroy. It's a fire of giving koach. That's the fire here in the burning bush. It's the fire that's not uchal, doesn't eat the bush. It gives it chius, it gives it life. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. He wanted to understand what this fire is. V'lo yiv'ar asneh, the snare wasn't. And then he was told, asur na, right? And then the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yeah? V'yomei Moshe, asur na, v'ir'eh tamar'eh hagadol hazeh, right? I'm going to go and see this big mar'eh. Madu lo yiv'ar asneh, why isn't this snare, this bush not burning? V'yah, V'yah Hashem kisa lir'od. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to see. V'yikra alav Elokim mitoch hasneh, v'yomei Moshe, Moshe, v'yomei hineini. Here, Chazal tell us, there's no hefsik between Moshe and Moshe. By Yaakov, by Avram, there's a hefsik. Moshe's no hefsik. Chazal say that Moshe, Moshe means his chokhmah and his bina, his higher persona were complete. Moshe reached a level that no one before him reached. Lo pasik ta'amei means that Moshe, at this point, the snare, reached a madrega that the others didn't reach. Vayome alti krav halom, shal na'alech ma'arogvicha. Take off your shoes, says the Malbim. Take off your shoes means, it's pashtut haguf, to remove your physicality and come to a different level. Because this was a nevuah. Ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav admat kodeshu. And now he says, the gilui of the geula. Vayome anochi elokei avicha. Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov. Visate Moshe Panam. Moshe turned his face. Ki Yarei was frightened now, beat at Elohim. Right, so there's a Gemara that he was, because he didn't look, he was Zochet, Tun Hashem Yabit, that he'd see Yekodesh Baruch Hu later on, or that it was an Onesh. Both are true. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, his Anava in not looking at the Shechina gave him the ability to see the Shechina on a higher level. And yet, another has to be in its right place. That means, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal himself to him. And to an extent, he should have seen, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to. And the same sort of another, we're going to see the same discussion is going to be straight away afterwards, where he's going to say, send the sent to Mitzrayim who you normally speak to in Aaron, who Neviecha. The same thing is going to be back and forth with Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kodesh Baruch Hu with regards to Aaron. So we see there's something here that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he knows he's the one for this tafkid, he's misarev. He doesn't look, and then he says to Moshe, to Kodesh Baruch Hu, send me the Aaron. Don't send with me. And this is after Kodesh Baruch Hu's telling him, I want to send with you. What's happening here? Why should Moshe Rabbeinu not want to go? And Chazal tell us that Aaron wouldn't have been hurt. V'samach b'libo. He was zochet to Urim v'tumim, right? He was happy. We can't understand something. Moshe Rabbeinu was anog mikol adam. There was an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu pick Moshe Rabbeinu? How was he zoche? Tori was zoche. His anava. His anava was that even though he was fitting, right? Maybe that someone else is more fitting. Maybe Aaron's more fitting. Maybe there's someone who's a better Eved Hashem. Why give me gift to someone who's better than me? That anava is why Kodesh Baruch Hu chose him. He didn't want godless. He didn't want to be in a position. He didn't want. There was no reason for him to want it. That's exactly why Kodesh Baruch Hu picked him. Exactly because of this. Had Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, I'm taking it, he would not have got it. Because in order to be Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to be thinking, maybe there's someone better. And you should give it to that person. Try and understand what that means. That means he never saw anything for himself. He only saw Klal Yisrael. Whatever's the best for Klal Yisrael. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're the best for Klal Yisrael, then he checks again back. But what about Aaron? I know Aaron, my brother. He's a big tzaddik. Maybe he's better for Klal Yisrael. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's a question if it's an onish or not. But the concept of his anava was that he was not, it wasn't him. There was no part of him involved. It was the Klal Yisrael. If you are a manhig and all what you do is nothing for you, it's not for you, you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for Klal Yisrael. Mecheni na misifrecha. That's what gave Moshe Rabbeinu the koach to say, Mecheni na misifrecha. Nail me from your sefer. That was the reason he was picked as the manhig of Klal Yisrael. And that anava is the biggest chibur you can have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the biggest connection you can have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The biggest connection you can have is like Moshe, Aspa Gloria Meira. There's nothing of yourself. There's Kol Kulo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're just a tzino. You're just a vessel through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitgale. You understand?